Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
I got a special guest on here today. I got Michael Zuber from One Rental at a Time. So welcome to my channel, Mr. Zuber.
Oh, I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity. You've had some amazing folks on the channel already. You're doing it right, as near as I can tell. So your chances of growing quickly are right ahead of you. So keep doing what you're doing. You're doing it all right.
Thank you for the compliment. And I tell everyone, I really am trying to follow your blueprint. I really like what you've done, and you know, you always mention it, you might be broken, but I think I really relate to that format and just trying to help other people. And I think that's really why I connected with your channel and yourself. But thank you for doing this. But yeah, let's dig in a little bit, maybe a quick recap of who Mr. Michael Zuber is, and then we can dive into some other questions.
Yeah, so Michael Zuber, first off, is a husband and father. You know, my investing journey really doesn't start until I'm 30 years old after I lose a bunch of money in the stock market. You know, I lost 80%. I thought I was a genius, and then I became an idiot almost overnight. I walk into a bookstore. I find a book that opened my eyes to possibilities called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's not a how-to book, but the fact that I had an MBA, an econ degree, an accountant. My first job out of college was a general ledger accountant. And the fact that that little purple book open my eyes to new things is both kind of awesome and insulting, right? I've paid for advanced education in finance and the like. And it set me on an entire new path. I didn't know what rental properties were, never even thought about it. Nobody in my family had any money or wealth or anything other than a home. And it started a new journey. And my vision after reading the book was just four houses. My big goal, four houses, because I thought if I could get there, I would have a better retirement. That was the extent of my, you know, big dream, my big vision. And we buy our first property in 2002. Ultimately, my wife retires, let's call it 2015. I retired 2018 at the peak, almost 200 units. And, you know, we've been, you know, building a brand called One Rental at a Time now for about 5 years. It is built on impact, not chasing fear and doom. And we built a pretty amazing community now that keeps me going. I get notes almost every day, positive notes that we're helping. And that's who I am.
I love that. I think, so it sounds like it's just been smooth sailing for you. So like everything's just been easy, an easy process. But I think the one thing that I relate to, and like we talked about it just a little bit real quickly, but you said, you know, you're broken. And is there certain maybe flaws or strengths that you have that you think has helped you along this journey?
Yeah. So if folks watch my channel and they see what I do every Sunday. So every Sunday I do a goals video, and I just give you a weekly update on my goals. And one of the things that I'm trying to do this year is go to three events. I just went to WealthCon. Actually was lucky enough to be a speaker. So that was pretty awesome to share, you know, the goodness of One Rental at a Time with, you know, thousands of folks. So thank you for that opportunity, Ryan. But as I'm in the back of the room, if I'm ever at an event, I'm in the back of the room. That's just where I go, right? Last row. And that's where I was. And I was seeing all these speakers, and I had time to think, because one of the things, again, back to your point about being broken, which I own, my routine for the last 4 or 5 years is pretty much the same. I wake up early, no alarm clock. I read the financial news. I take some notes. I talk to a camera, or I talk to my phone. I go live for 15 minutes. I do 3 millionaire interviews, typically 8, 9, and 10. Then I go walk the dogs. I go out to eat with Olivia. I come home, maybe, you know, do some, just some housework. Then I work out. Then, you know, whatever. That was my life for 5 years. And the reason I share that is it didn't give me a chance to grow. So I'm sitting in the back of WealthCon, absorbing, you know, just feeling like I'm, you know, I'm in a new spot. And I came up with 5 things. I've never really thought about my weaknesses or fatal flaws or things. And I think it's important, or at least it's important for me to do 2 things. Always be authentic, the good and the bad. And always to show people that even guys who are financially free and been free for a long time, we still have weaknesses. We don't have everything figured out. So I came up with 5. You want to go through them?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So the first one I actually shared on the Daily Financial News, and it's really weird. It actually hit me about the middle of my talk. So I'm on stage talking about focus and daily discipline and trying to get everybody to own that themselves for whatever they want to do. Because I think that's the secret to anything, is focus and daily discipline. I really do think that's the secret to everything. But it really hit me as I was telling the story of earning financial freedom and growing a YouTube channel. And I'm like, dude, Zuber, you are an idiot. So what do I mean by that? I didn't ask for help. I didn't seek out help. And when I say that, I'm not even talking like paid coaching. I'm talking about getting in communities. I'm talking about getting around others that are doing it. And I'm so broken. I wear it as a badge of honor doing it myself. It's just where I'm comfortable. I can outwork anybody for a long time. So what are 2 examples of that and why it hit me on stage? The first one's real estate. So in 2002, we make the decision to buy something. I then go on a 52-week journey, wasting every Sunday, looking for a cash flow property in the Bay Area. There are none. They haven't been none. They don't exist. And not that the whole year was a waste, but at least 6 months of that was a waste. I should have been able to look up and go, it's the right idea, just the wrong market. I had the skills. I had a buy box. I knew how to find average. You know, all the things that I teach and talk about. I shouldn't have spent a year doing it. I shouldn't have tried to fit a round or a square peg in a round hole. I should have been smarter than that. And thankfully, Olivia is smarter than me, because she called it after a year. Because I could have been doing that for 2 years. I'm just so broken that I'm gonna run through the wall. And if I don't do it, I'm just gonna run through it again. And you know, eventually it'll happen. So that's the first one. And then YouTube, right? And this is actually when it hit me on stage. It's gonna be interesting if I ever see the live, if I can actually see the moment on stage where I kind of have this epiphany. I built this brand called One Rental at a Time. $1 million in income in books, this, that, the other. Somebody tried to buy it from me from $1 million, right? So it's clearly something. But I'm telling the story of the first year. The first year I produce over 1,000 videos, not monetized. I spend thousands of dollars, almost 10 grand editing a book. And at the end of the first year, I make a whopping like $1,200. I realized on stage that most people can't do that. Most people can't spend almost 20 grand on equipment and editing a book and all these things only to produce 1,000. They'd go bankrupt. It just wouldn't work. So again, that's I'm not talking about paying somebody for coaching. I'm just saying I should have pulled my head out of my ass and got around others that were doing it. And you know, you can learn so much just by being in other communities and stuff. So my first one is a big one, is please ask for help at network, get around other people that are doing what you want to do. And if that means coaching, so be it. But again, I know money is tight out there for a lot of people. You can learn just by observing smartly. So that's the first one. Does that all make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's what also made your Vegas event so amazing. It was just being there with around other people that are like-minded or trying to do the same things. And I think that's what the biggest takeaway from your event was.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the Vegas event wasn't, or I mean, no, let's say it this way. The Vegas event, which exceeded all my expectations, and I had high expectations, it exceeded all of them. It was made because of the audience. The audience made that event. And as a guy who's a control freak, I can't control the audience. It's like the unknown variable. And the audience is what made that happen. So shout out anybody that was there. You guys made that event. So, you know, thanks for coming from Hawaii. It was very nice of you.
It was amazing. I'm trying to bring more people next time.
There you go. There you go. We are going to go bigger. We're going to max out that facility. So we're going for 400 next time. So that was number one. Number two, this is probably trauma from being a kid. This next one. I don't trust anyone. My circle is small, right? People talk about having five friends and all of that. My circle is small, right? I had work acquaintances. I had team members when I was a leader, but, you know, friends, not really. Something that I've come to see now is having this channel, having the millionaires that I speak with, you know, many of them for years now, they're my friends. They get it. And, you know, I'm not saying trust everybody because that's just foolish, but not trusting anyone and keeping a very small circle is very limiting. Again, back to kind of one and two, I'm comfortable being alone, right? That's okay, but it's also pretty lonely, right? So that's my number two.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think I really resonate with that, as I'm okay with being alone. And I think that's, like you said, that's sometimes the struggle. But what I also find interesting is that you said, you know, and I feel the same way, like before the internet, social media, you kind of were only allowed to have this small group of friends, like that it was in the neighborhood, or, you know, mm-hmm. like lived on the same island. But now with the internet, social media, you're so much more able to connect with other people mm-hmm. out there that are doing the same thing. And there's people that look at me like, you have friends on the internet that you've never met, and yeah. they find it weird. But I think to your yeah. point, like, but that's how you get out there and that's how you grow.
No, I think you got to find like-minded individuals. Because again, back to the point, you know, if you're only dealing with friends in your neighborhood or your school or your work, they're not all rowing the same direction. And I would argue that most are trying to go backwards. If you're trying to do something special for you and your family, like earn financial, just have a better financial future, or grow a brand or start a channel to share your unique goodness, you need new friends, right? I have this saying that you got to fire your friends. It's just true. But you've also got to go out and seek others. And one of the things that's amazing about One Rental at a Time for me personally is it's allowed me to meet amazing people who are go-givers, who, you know, give me an hour of their week pre-scheduled. And it's amazing. It's also fun to watch everybody win. Right? Everybody who's doing the work, they win. And it's fun to celebrate that. So that's number two. Here's number three. I didn't believe getting wealthy was possible. Again, I grew up very financially insecure. I remember one time packing up because we were going to be forced to move to Michigan to live with my grandparents because we were going to lose the house. We already had a going away party. I remember having to get a job to buy groceries I think I was a teenager. I never thought getting wealthy was possible. Even when I told my intro, my grand vision was to work to 65 and hopefully have a better retirement than most. I never was around wealth. I didn't know what wealth looked like. I only knew struggle. In fact, to me growing up, I probably still have this baggage. Money's the stressor of relationships. When you don't have any, it's loud and violent. And when you have some, it's fun. And yeah, it's, I didn't even know, dude, I didn't know you could get wealthy. I didn't know it was possible. And that's a problem.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people struggle with, is just their relationship with money. And same thing for me. I think it was more just a, you're almost told that money is evil, right? That you don't need a lot, you know, to be complacent. And I think that's where I fell into, and the whole, you know, like still being in the fire department, you know, getting that secure job with the benefits and pension, and nothing's wrong with that. It's just, that's the path that I was headed towards. But like you're saying, if you want to just do a little bit better for your family or better in retirement, all it takes is a few little things, and it just, you know, things can grow from that. So I love that.
Yeah. The next one, again, has to be childhood trauma. Again, I'm just putting it all out there because I think it's important to talk about it and show we all got, you know, shit to deal with. I never think about the future, right? I don't think big. Like some people, like I've been around Pace Morby, now Ryan Pineda. You know, those guys, they live in the future. They can almost see it in technicolor. I don't think about tomorrow, right? I live in the day. I'm comfortable doing the work. I mean, that's just where I am. And, you know, the future, anytime I remember thinking about the future, it always went sideways. It just always went bad. So I don't think about it, because it's, to me, the baggage I have is thinking big, thinking about the big, or thinking about doing something grand just leads to disappointment. And I've said on my channel plenty of times that, you know, I don't think big and I don't do all of that. That's not really it. Is I don't think about the future because I don't want to be disappointed. And I just, you know, I'm sure that's some childhood nonsense I'm carrying, but I find it easier to react. I mean, that's what I learned as a kid, is bad shit's going to happen all the time. Just react with it. Don't think about it. Don't do all that stuff. Just react to the nonsense that's occurring that moment and move on. But I think I've carried that, you know, shit, I'm over 50 now and I'm still acting that way. And, you know, I got to let that go.
Well, I think that's why your message resonates so well with a lot of people. Like that big goal ahead, or that looking so far ahead, it's hard for people to vision that. And your, like your daily mindset of daily goals, I think that's actually why a lot of people relate to yourself and your channel.
Yeah. And again, there's nothing, I mean, you know, we'll talk about this in a minute, but my WealthCon presentation was just that. If you want to do anything legendary, you want to do things like Buffett or Jordan or Mr. Beast or any of these folks that you guys listed as legends, create a list of activities, track them, share them, report on them daily. Over time, you will get there. As long as you don't stop, you will get there. So, absolutely. But still, I need to work on that myself, right? I'm never going to see the world in Technicolor, but I do think I need to be able to step back and go, you know, like, for example, what would our, you know, we already know we're going to do the Vegas event next year. I already wrote the check, but should I ever think about doing a 1,000-person event, right? Today, I can tell you, I only think about the 400 person because I paid the money. But at, you know, Ryan Pineda's event, you know, there was 1,500 people there or whatever. I'm like, could we do that? I don't think about that. I should, though. So that's what I mean. Nothing's going to stop me from doing the work. It is the message. If you want to lose weight, there's this. You want to become better at that. It's all of that. But I appreciate it. And then here's the last one. Again, definitely childhood trauma. These are all embarrassing at some level, but you know, whatever. I've always had this feeling that no one likes me, right? I'm a loser. You know, just all of this childhood stuff. Cause I was always picked on. I was always the oddball, growing up. That's one of the reasons it feels so good to have kind of this community around One Rental at a Time, because I get daily notes that know you are helping. So it definitely makes me feel better. But for the longest time, man, I just felt like, you know, no one likes me. So, you know, I was always picked on and all that. So again, those are the five fatal flaws. It's just, I wanted to get those out there because I think it maybe one of those will hit home with someone.
You know, it's funny you bring that up also, because I'm not saying you're a lot older than myself, but, you know, I look at you, I view you as, you know, kind of like this successful real estate investor, YouTube channel. But for me, my kind of initial impression was, you know, you're this grizzly old man, maybe hard to approach. But then when I actually spoke with you at Vegas or encountered you in Vegas, it was just this super humble, down-to-earth person that just wants to help everyone. And that just blew me away. And it's funny you mentioned that, though.
Yeah. Well, that's a self-defense mechanism. I've said this before, and I'll say it here. I kind of consider myself like an M&M or something like that. I'm very hard on the outside. I want people to see hard, because I don't want nonsense, right? But I'm soft on the inside, right? I'm pretty soft on the inside.
Yeah. Well, I loved it. I love you, you know, getting, you know, deep and talking about these five flaws that you think are flaws. But let's kind of pivot a little bit and maybe go towards, because I know that you were just at WealthCon, and I did watch your YouTube video practicing your presentation.
Yeah.
And I find it very similar to also your kind of ORAT rules, you know, they kind of overlap a little bit. So can you touch on that, maybe what about your presentation and the ORAT rules that you have?
Yeah, so we'll do the presentation first and the rules second. So anytime I give a presentation at an event, I have an overarching goal. And again, people may not know this. I've been speaking on stages for 20 years. I think the largest audience I spoke in front of was over 20,000. So I'm comfortable on stage. But you have to have a goal, or at least I always did. So the goal for the event was I wanted the people in the audience to know that if they made a decision and owned it and worked on it, that they could do something legendary. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be Michael Jordan or Tom Brady or Michael Phelps. That's not what I'm saying. But whatever you choose to go after, you can achieve legendary results if you just stick to it long enough. It happens. It's just how the force of nature works. So that was my overarching goal, is to get the audience to believe it's possible. In fact, if you see my presentation, I think the first three or four slides right at the bottom basically says, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you, basically. So that's the overarching goal. Number two is there's only three steps to doing legendary things. And very quickly, they are, you know, basically you need to fire your friends because your current friends don't want to do the same thing. You need to get in new rooms or new groups with people that are doing it. And you need to set up activities that are not feelings, but they're actually trackable, right? They're numbers you can put on a spreadsheet. You need to share those things with others. You need to report truth. Don't lie to everyone. And then the last one is you need to do that for 10 years. It's whatever you want to do, whatever it is. Let's talk about, you know, like YouTube. Well, you know, one of the ways you have to grow with YouTube is creating content. So how many pieces of content are you going to create a week? 5. Okay, great. Write it down. That's your goal. Now, how many did you do? 3. Well, why'd you only do 3? Right? Well, I did 7. Great. Now let's maybe increase the goal to 7. It's everything comes down to daily forward momentum. I think there's a book called Atomic Habits that really talked about this, getting 1% better. Just keep at it. The last thing kind of to take away from that is, and this is where it's a superpower and not kryptonite or my weakness, is I can just keep going. Lots of people get tired or frustrated or whatever. I don't have that. I don't know what it is. I don't even think that way. I'm excited about the work tomorrow. And that's it. I mean, just whatever you want to do, put it down paper, share it with people, track, get around people that are doing it, and just don't stop. So that was really kind of my, you know, my hope for 25 minutes.
Yeah, I love that. I think that really helps people that are trying to start, and they hear that, like you say, just got to keep going. There's a lot of struggles involved. And, you know, I find how you're super supportive. You know, a lot of times on X, I'm putting, like, oh, okay, I'm trying to get to, you know, the 400 subscriber. And you're like, yeah, don't worry, just keep going. You know, the first 500 are a struggle, and then it kind of grows from there. And I think your message is super important to get out there, because it's so easy for people to quit or pivot after, you know, even just a year.
Yeah, I want you to hear this, and hopefully the audience hears it as well. I've said this plenty of times on other YouTube podcasts. The first 400 subs are the hardest. So if you're lucky enough to get to 400, why would you stop? You've already done the hardest part. It gets easier from there. And you got to get to 400, though. I mean, you got to figure it out. You got to move forward. But once you get to 400, you've done the hardest part. And this is a guy that's got to, I don't know, 58,000 or whatever it is. The first 400 were the hardest.
All right. Well, I just got there, so I'm at 401. So we'll see. We'll see if
it's so smooth sailing from here. Yeah. Smooth sailing from here.
We'll see. I hope so. But I love it. I love the journey. I think, like I said, a lot.
Well, folks, if you're watching this on my channel, One Rental at a Time, please go give Financial Firefighter a follow on YouTube. I'm going to ask my audience. Let's see if we can't get him to 500 within a couple of days of this being on my channel. I got rock star people in my world. Let's just prove to him that the next 100 will be easier than the last 400. Let's see if my audience can step up.
Oh man, thank you so much. I know they will. Your audience is amazing, and I've connected with a lot of them, and I love them. They're amazing. But yeah, so, you know, let's kind of also pivot onto the 7 rules from the One Rental at a Time community, because I feel there's a big relationship to what your presentation was.
Yeah, I actually created the 7 rules. I have a huge huge poster in my gym because they're that important. But really, they're basically the things that kind of you just have to remember going in. And I don't remember the rules on top of my head. Do you have them in front of you?
In front of me, yes. So number one is focus.
Yeah, that's it, right? I call it a buy box. I know the 7 rules. I just didn't know the order. So focus is number one. You got to have a buy box. You got to be able to look at it every day. And again, the 7 rules for ORAD are obviously real estate related, but no matter what you want to do, even if you want to do a YouTube channel, focus, right? Stop being distracted. Too many people try to do YouTube and Amazon Dropship and Etsy and this and that. It's like, stop it. Do one thing. Get really good at one thing. So yeah, it all starts with focus. And in real estate, that's called a buy box.
Yeah. Number two is daily discipline.
Superpower. You've got to just keep going. It compounds. Don't wish for it. Don't wish to be better. Be better. Look at it every day. Get 1% better. It compounds. Daily good habits compound, right? You go to the gym. You go to the gym for 7 days or 30 days or 90 days. You start seeing results. It doesn't happen, right? You don't get 6-pack abs because you did 5 sit-ups. You get 6-pack abs because you did 5,000 sit-ups or whatever the number is. But just don't stop. Don't wish to be better. Be better. And that comes with daily discipline.
Number three, grow your network.
Man, this again, kind of one of my weaknesses. And I've talked about it in my book, One Rental at a Time, is I did it all by myself the first 5 years. And again, that's, you got to think how stupid that was. I'm living in the Silicon Valley. I'm traveling all over the globe for my job. And I'm trying to grow a portfolio in a market that I don't know anyone. Dude, I should have started networking day one. That goal that you see there, meet 2 new people a week, I didn't really start that until like year 3 or 4. Your network is everything. And oh, by the way, even today, I'm still trying to grow my network. It should never stop. Your network can bail you out. Your network can give you early insight. Your network can bring you deal flow. Your network can keep you motivated. Your network is everything. Don't stop growing, and I challenge people to meet 2 new people a week.
Yeah, and like you're saying, it's not specifically related towards real estate. Even just, you know, you say you're trying to build a YouTube channel or, you know, start something else, but anybody you can connect with can help you that's ahead of you and provide you with some insight. So I love that. Number four is learn average deal first.
Yeah, this is a big one. Lots of people get this wrong. A lot of real estate investors, they get the bug somewhere and then they just want a deal. And to me, that's the wrong mindset. Just wanting a deal, and heaven forbid you have some money, you're going to gamble. You're going to be in a rush and you can't cut the line. Everyone, whether you have $0 or $1 million, you need to figure out what an average deal is in your market. And that takes time. It takes no less than 90 days and probably 6 months for most people to say the average yield in my buy box is X. It is only after you know average that you can write a great offer. It's logically impossible for me to see how writing an offer before you know average is a good idea, because you don't know what average is. So you're gambling. It's frustrating. And, you know, I'm going to just keep telling people, you know, you can't cut the line. Everybody's got to do the work. But I run into people all the time that's like, I got some money, I got to put it to work. And they're like in a rush to flush it down the toilet. It's crazy.
So number five, I think, is my favorite, though. Bad things will happen.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah, mine too. I mean, let's just remember, you know, my origin story. I waste a year looking in the Silicon Valley. We ultimately rotate to Fresno, California. After several months, we finally buy 1818 Norris Drive. We move a tenant in, and then they never pay rent. And then we spend $1,000 evicting them. And then we go in after they're out and realize we have $15,000 in damages. I was ready to give up. I was. I've said it many times. Olivia is smarter than me. And she asked if we did anything wrong, which we didn't. We did everything right. Credit checks, reference checks, income, all of that. They just got divorced. And the husband was unhappy with it and became an alcoholic and deadbeat. It happens. So we tried it again. And that property never, you know, new tenant moved in, never missed a payment. That we 1031'd out of that house at the peak and got an apartment building. It's been, you know, awesome. And then that success led to more successes after. But bad things happen. It just does. Learn. A bad thing is an opportunity to learn. I will tell you, when you repeat lessons, that's a mistake, right? If there's something bad, there's a lesson to be had. Just learn it. Don't have it happen again. So you pay the tuition twice. That's not okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to teach my sons. Like, it's okay to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. It's just
don't do it again.
The same. Yeah.
And let's create new ones.
Yeah. But the one important thing I really like is that no matter how successful you are, like, you know, you're super successful, but I'm sure bad things still happen. And I think that's what is the great message for people to realize, is that it's always going to be there, right? And you just got to figure out the solution for it.
Yeah. I mean, bad things happen all the time.
And number six, 5 to 10 year commitment.
Oh, I love that one.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. I love that one. I was just going to say bad things happen all the time, right? I still have bad stuff happen every week. You just keep moving forward. But number six, like my talk at WealthCon, it's really just kind of, I have to have people look up. Don't expect it tomorrow. The first 5 years, certainly building a real estate portfolio sucks. You got to learn the lessons. There's a tuition. The cash flow is small. But you need time, and with inflation and mortgage pay down and, you know, all these things, it does get better. And oh, by the way, you get better. I'm a much better investor after 5 years than I was the first year. I was a better investor 10 years after five. And, you know, I'm a better investor today than I was 2 years ago, because I don't stop learning. I don't stop growing. And again, as somebody who's now over 50, and I, you know, depending on your age watching this, some of you watching this, you know, I talk 5 to 10 years and it's half your life, right? You're 20 years old and you got this grizzly old man telling you to plan for 10 years. You think I'm an idiot, because that's half your life. Well, folks, you're going to probably live to 100. So 5 to 10 years of sacrifice and work to have 50 years to do amazing stuff. It's an easy trade, right? You're going to choose your heart, right? Do you want to have 5 years of heart or do you want to have 50 years of heart? You know, I know which one I pick.
Yeah, I love that message. And the final one is audit your personal network. Oh,
man, this is the whole fire your friends. You want to do amazing things, build financial freedom, grow a YouTube channel, create a brand around your hobby or passion, and you have the same five loser friends that you had in college smoking out, you know, whatever. I can't help you. It is very true. You show me your five friends, I'll show you your future. Just true, like big bold letters. And you know, that's you know, I've always had a really small circle, as I admitted earlier. I should have gone out and sought to be around others doing it. There's the problem, right? We kind of said this earlier, right? We're both Gen X, and we didn't really have a choice who our friends were going to be as Gen Xers, because it was the kids on the street. It was the kids on your team or whatever, you know, Little League or whatever. Today, with social media, what we're doing here, you know, virtual calls, you know, so you can find some amazing friends. And the last thing about auditing your network is, for most of you, myself included, this device is part of your five friends. And some of you, your friends create fear, greed, envy. They make you nervous. They make you, you know, scared that the world is going to end. If you have any doomers, and you know who they are, that's all they do is preach doom, or anybody that's flexing and making you feel like you're less of something because they drive a car or this or that, block them. I worked in technology for 30 years, 10 years in AI, or what then was called machine learning. The algorithms are non-feeling. Whatever you are watching, they're going to give you more. And here's a test I did, right? We both follow each other on X. When I was I just got on X like, I don't know, a year ago or whatever. And if you're not careful on X, it's the most toxic, doom, nasty environment. I spent about a week blocking doomers and fear mongers. And dude, my X feed is awesome, right? My IG feed is awesome. My YouTube feed is awesome. It's motivating. It's helpful. It's encouraging. Folks, audit what you watch on your device. It is feeding you it is feeding you nonsense, or it's feeding you positivity. It's your call. I bet you if I looked at people's social media feed, I could predict their future. You're watching doom. That's on you. It's not people want to blame the algorithm. The algorithm's non-feeling. It basically says, hey, you watch this, you're going to probably like this. It's just trying to keep you on platform by feeding you what you want. So own that. My social media feed, I could not imagine having a more positive and enlightening social media feed. So thank you for being a part of it, by the way. I love what you do.
Thank you so much. No, I love connecting with you. And I don't know, same thing. I've only been on X fairly recent, and I actually enjoy, I think, the X platform the most out of all of them so far. I think there's the best interaction there and building relationships. So I really enjoy it. But you know, before we wrap things up, I do have one maybe final question that I've never really heard you talk about too much or got the answer for. Mm-hmm. But I hear you talk quite a bit about, you know, part of the YouTube journey was leaving a legacy, you know, 50 mm-hmm. years after you've passed or you're gone. So what is that all about? Where did that start from?
I think it was that my fifth weakness. Remember, my fifth weakness is no one liked me. So I figured if somebody could still say my name positively 50 years after I'm dead and gone, I will have done something. That's where that comes from. Is I never think I'm enough. I don't think I'm any good. I don't think anybody likes me. But if I can create goodness and positivity and change people's lives, and they're saying something, you know, 50 years from now, it's basically an F you to anybody that was nasty to me growing up, right? The people that were nasty to me will be dead and gone. No one will speak of them ever. And, you know, somebody will say something nice about me 50 years from now, and it'll be a big middle finger to those jerks that were, you know, nasty to me. So that's where it comes from.
I love that. So, you know, I guess this wrap things up, but where is going to be, I guess, maybe the next event that you will be at, since you're saying you got to do so many events a year now, but where can they find you next?
So if you're going to Think Media's event, I will not be speaking, but I will be in the audience learning, observing. If you're going to Sean Cannell's event, Grow With Video, please let me know. I'd love to take some pictures, talk, chop it up, get some coffee. I'm going to be there all 3 days. I think two of my millionaires are coming. I think Ty's coming and Adrian's coming. So I'm sure we're going to be chopping it up together, but I will be there. And then I've been lucky enough to be asked to keynote a presentation at Northwest Action Summit. I think I'm talking on May 3rd. It's May 2nd and 3rd, I believe. I could be wrong. It might be 3rd and 4th. But yeah, I'll be at that event. And that's it. That's all I have scheduled right now. So if you are putting on events out there and you want some One Rental at a Time goodness, reach out. It's just me, right? Instagram, if you want to DM me, or you can email me off my website. I don't have VAs. I don't have teams. I don't have any of that stuff. So if you do that, you're communicating with me. So as of right now, it's those two events, and they're actually back-to-back weeks. So I go from doing no events to doing 3 weeks in a row. So it's kind of fun. I like it.
All right. And I'll throw it out there. When will be the event in Hawaii for One Rental at a Time?
I like that idea. I think, you know what we should do is we should probably reach out, get Olivia involved, because this is how this is going to happen. We get Olivia excited about going to Hawaii. Uh-huh. Then we set up an event so I can make it a business expense.
Yeah.
But I'm down. I mean, if I'm going to come to Hawaii, I would probably want to do an event. I don't know, 50 plus people. I bet we could do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I would think. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm down. I mean, what's the best month to come to Hawaii?
Ooh, I mean, I think summertime is always going to be the best as far as just pure weather, where you're going to get to do a lot more things. But in the wintertime, you still get decent weather, but there's like the whale watching and other things, other activities.
I'm down to do something in the summer. We should seriously. I mean, I'm down. I mean, is anybody who is in Hawaii or who would go to Hawaii and, you know, talk to your accountant, but maybe you can make some of that a business expense, but talk to your own accountant. Yeah, I'm down. I mean, one of the things that I hope happens is we do One Rental at a Time events at very cool locations, so I can go to more cool locations and, you know, do my thing and be in cool places like Hawaii. I'm down.
All right. And one last question, because I think we kind of grew up in the same era generation. I hear you talking about them quite a bit. So Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant?
Oh, Jordan. Jordan. 6-0. 6-0 in the finals. Defensive player of the year. 6 finals MVP. Yeah. Just the fact that I think what really puts him over the top is he won Defensive Player of the Year award. Yeah. That doesn't happen for a legendary scorer. He competed on both sides.
Yeah. I got to agree on that one. But all right. Well, this was fun. And thanks for doing this. And thanks for always supporting us on X, YouTube, and I think you're doing wonderful things out there. And all right, we'll wrap it up right there.
Folks, go follow Financial Firefighter. Remember, we're trying to get him an extra 100 subs from all the ORAT fans. You guys are amazing. Please show him some love. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Catch you later. Bye.